The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman, with you on this Wednesday, 11th day of August, 2021. All right. What I didn't do off of Roger's article, that is posted, by the way, on our website, republicbroadcasting.org, this all boils down to our children. And Dr. Jane Ruby, is talking about, does COVID-19 SARS even exist? Well, and I refer you to the case up in Alberta, Canada, where this enterprising individual got a $1,200 ticket, went to court, and asked the judge, please, can I see the evidence? If I'm in violation of something, I need to see the evidence of which this is based off of. And the judge agreed. Nobody could produce it because they've not isolated the COVID-19. It was never isolated. So they come up with vaccines for something that they never isolated to make a vaccine out of. See, the idea behind a vaccine, folks, is, you get the bad little things in there, and then you make a vaccine by diluting down that dangerous virus or whatever the hell it is. And then you inject it in the human body, your antibodies in your body go, oh, there's a foreigner here that shouldn't be here. It goes and attacks them and gets rid of it. Well, so if this is a vaccine that was never based on anything that they isolated, and it's still classified as being an experimental vaccine, why do we have to take this? And that is the contention here. And folks, I got to be honest with you. My BS meter has served me well. Sometimes it registers only halfway. So is the glass half empty? Is it half full? Flip a coin. Don't know. But in these tight times that we have right now, everybody that's out there that we consider to be the deliverers of the truth better be who they proclaim that they are. I give you Stu Peters and interviewing again this doctor, Dr. Jane Ruby. By the way, Tom D. sent me a text and said, well, that video yesterday that you played, that was not two different hospitals, that was one. I don't know. I'll have to watch the video again. She talked about two facilities she visited, but I think she only videoed the one hospital. But I may be in error. Tom, you may be right. I may be wrong. But at any rate, here is Stu Peters' presentation on the not isolated COVID, can't be located, doesn't exist. Take it away, Stu. I hope you're legit. I really do.
Strikingly similar to what we have been screaming along with scientists and doctors since, March of 2020. Until we had our tongues cut out, of course, by big tech oligarchs. In typical Fauci fashion, as the lead carnival barker for Big Pharma, he will be suggesting now some brand new, expensive, patented Pfizermectin or Moderna chloroquine. It's stunning that he's even admitting that early antiviral treatments are effective, considering the ongoing effort to vaccinate every man, woman, and child, rat, mouse, and breathing organism on the face of the planet. Now, we now know from a lot of experience with the care of these individuals that if you can keep that virus from going to the upper airway, to going down into the lung and other organ systems, you can change what could be a devastating disease and make it an upper airway common cold type approach. Who said that? Anthony Fauci said that. A common cold? Did he just say those words? A common cold. Has a common cold spurred global tyranny and overreaching draconian lockdowns and mask mandates globally? Has anyone isolated this virus? Well, it doesn't appear so. FOIA discovery from around the world has failed to actually produce a virus. So how can we even acknowledge something that can't be proven to exist? Joining us now is Dr. Jane Ruby. She's a medical expert, Stu Peters Show contributor. So, Dr. Jane Ruby, does this virus even exist?
Stu, let's take a closer look at what's happening here. According to a lot of experts and a lot of government admission across the globe, there is no virus other than a digital theoretical abstraction made on a computer from a genomic database. The virus, as we've been saying, has never been isolated, purified, sequenced, characterized, or proven to exist, right? I want to get into why this is coming to the forefront. As you mentioned, thousands of FOIA requests went out unbeknown to some of us late last year, early this year, and the results are coming in, and governments are they're admitting as we go here that this doesn't exist. Now, let me begin with a little bit of education. People have written to me and said, Dr. Jane, are you saying that, you know, I wasn't sick last year? I mean, come on. Look, there was a flu last year. But when we talk about SARS-CoV-2 and the characterization of it as something incredibly dangerous that justifies losing your businesses, damaging and hurting your children, just causing death and destruction across the planet, we better damn well have something that we can put our hands on. So we look to pre-existing standards, one of which is the Koch postulates. Four things are required before you know you have a virus. The first thing is that the microorganism should be identified in people who are affected with the illness, but it should not be identified in people that don't show any symptoms of the illness. The second postulate is that it has to be isolated from a diseased individual and then be able to multiply it in culture, okay, to show its replicability. The third part of Koch's postulates includes that when you introduce the organism that you've isolated into a healthy person, that isolate must cause disease. Otherwise, it's inoculated. The fourth postulate is the microorganism must then be re-isolated from the experimental host and found to be identical to the original microorganism. These are important because this has never been done with this virus. Let me just share some other information and facts. And I'm going to provide you with a lot of links to documentation for your website that buttresses everything I'm about to tell you.
All right, good. We'll put it all at StuPeters.tv. Everything that you say, every link you provide will be at StuPeters.tv because people need to know this stuff. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you. First of all, top Chinese scientists admitted that they never isolated the virus. That's one link that I'm going to send to you. Secondly, the CDC stated itself that there's no quantified isolate available. In fact, the link I'm going to send you from their website will say, and I quote, that they've been running PCR tests based not on actual viral isolate, in other words, an actual sample or specimen taken from an infected human, but rather, listen to this, Stu, stocks, I'm quoting, stocks of transcribed RNA taken from a gene bank to mimic the clinical specimen. I've been screaming about this for weeks relative to the Corman-Drosten paper that was the fake, if you remember, validation of the PCR test that the CDC now says has to be replaced because it's incompetent. No kidding. Well, in their paper where they claim to have validated it, you have to validate a tool, a diagnostic tool. In other words, you have to scientifically prove that it does identify what you are claiming it does, the illness, the disease per se, and you also have to validate that it is doing it, we call it reliability, that it's doing it consistently every time you use the test. And in their article, they come out and admit that they used a what's called in silico, or computer simulated. These are not based on organic materials. These are not based on anything that's ever been extrapolated from a human being who is ill with any kind of flu. So let me go on with this. The CDC admitted that they made a digital virus. Here's where the Frankenstein piece comes in. They admitted that they made a digital virus made from 30,000 base pairs using 37 actual sample base pairs. But Stu, these are all simulations of configurations of these DNA sequences. In other words, they go on to say, in other words, in their own this article summary, it is a Frankenstein virus which has been concocted and stitched together using genomic database sequences, some viral, some not. It has never been properly purified and isolated so that it can be sequenced from end to end once derived from living tissue. Instead, it's just digitally assembled from a computer database. This computer-generated step constitutes scientific fraud on every level. Stu, we cannot have a specific test for something, for a virus, without knowing the components of that virus, right? And I want to go on to say, you can't justify a variant of something that you've never identified exists per se. So I just want to go on with a couple more pieces of information.
So let me just, can I just clarify something real quick?
Sure.
Because what you said just right now is actually quite profound. And it's a huge statement that you're making. And I don't want to just breeze over this. These variants, Delta variant, what was the other one? This world-ending variant, whatever it's called. The doomsday variant.
Epsilon, I mean, whatever they throw out. You know, there's a certain order of...
Lambda, right. Okay, so what you're saying is how could these variants exist if COVID-19 in and of itself, this, according to Dr. David Martin, this chimerically engineered virus... doesn't exist at all either, but rather that this is a set of symptoms essentially that has been diagnosed as a COVID-19. It's been given the label COVID-19, but you can't really determine if anybody ever really had this COVID-19 because in and of itself, COVID-19 could be fake.
Absolutely. They're justifying, knocking people over in Australia and injecting poison in their arms. They're justifying a potential lockdown that Biden may come out with next week and all kinds of other things.
But we're talking about the separation of families. We're talking about keeping people away from their elderly mothers, grandparents in nursing homes. We're talking about masking kids for periods of 5, 6, 8, 10 hours a day.
And then you get into the
whole inoculation thing, which we're going to get into in a second, but I want you to finish because I have a specific question as relating to that on something that I saw breaking this morning.
Right. So getting back to the point, these computer-generated sequences were used to develop the PCR diagnostic test. And so millions of false positives, false whatever, have come out of this fraud. This design relied merely on close genetic relatives, and it does not fulfill the aim for a diagnostic test as cross-reactivity. So that's why we've had all these false positives. And I want to mention something else. These FOIA requests the responses are now coming out. Multiple governments, unending governments, all the countries in the UK, Canada, Australia, are admitting that they could not produce evidence or scientific paperwork that this virus exists, this SARS-CoV-2. And so over 40 institutions worldwide have not been able to answer this question. I just want to go on to say,
How many governments?
There actually are over 40, more than 40 institutions across Canada, the United States, New Zealand, Australia, all the governments in the UK, which is England, and Wales, Ireland, and also Denmark and the European CDC have provided their responses, and none could locate any scientific data recording the isolation of any COVID-19 virus, aka SARS-CoV-2, directly from a disease patient. So, Stu, what this means is if there's no virus that is identified, there can't be a variant. We're being threatened to lockdown on variants of a non-existent virus. Okay?
You're seeing road signs in the middle of the road, those illuminated change by the day road signs that say dangerous variant in this area. This is all propaganda. This is all fake, according to what you're saying is scientific evidence that there is no, it lacks, there, a lack of scientific evidence is what we're exposing here.
Here's the pathway to freedom. I saw your interview with Patrick King. What he basically did was demand that the Canadian, the Albertan government produce proof in order to justify the mandates. And they couldn't. And they reversed them. And I think this is the way forward for a lot of governments. And I want the American people to be apprised of this and be prepared.
That's right. And I want to be very clear about something on that Patrick King interview. Millions of people have seen that thing on various different platforms. Millions. That thing went viral globally. There are also a lot of people that are a part of the establishment of Canada that are pushing back on that, saying he didn't win anything in court. Let me be perfectly clear. He won in front of the world stage. He exposed in front of the world that this virus has not been isolated, thereby instigating people to rid of mask mandates. Has there been a gavel to the desk? No, there has not. So technical wins in court, this is a win for humanity. I don't care about the court because as we have proven here in the United States, specifically, the entire judiciary is sold out corrupt. And I would imagine that there will be judges, federal judges, that will override or attempt to override people like Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Greg Abbott, anybody who is standing up and getting rid of these mandates for kids, separations, all of these different things. Now, speaking of mandates, were you done? Because I have a question for you.
Well, we can certainly wrap up on this topic, but I want to share the latest data really hot off the press on 12 to 17-year-olds, which this whole the virus isolate doesn't exist becomes even more important for children.
Yeah, go ahead. You were breaking up there for a second, but go ahead.
Just wanted you to know that we have the latest stats right out of the CDC from the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report on the initial numbers of damage and injuries to 12 to 17-year-olds who are being jabbed now under the expansion of the EUA. And I wanted to share those numbers with everyone.
Yes, please.
So far, the CDC itself is reporting that there were 863 serious adverse events. Stu, this is out of about 75,000 12 to 17-year-olds that have been jabbed, and most of them in the last month or two since the EUA was expanded. A serious adverse event is a very common phrase, and it has a specific meaning in pharmaceutical drug development. It is death. It is serious illness requiring hospitalization. It's not just a headache or throwing. 76,000 so far that they are looking at. 863 serious adverse events, including 14 deaths. This is 12 to 17-year-olds with no previous medical history at all. And I want you to know, Stu, that two of them out of the 14 deaths, two of them had a brain bleed, two of them had a heart attack, and two of them died of heart failure within a few weeks of getting their second shot.
These are 12 to 17-year-olds?
Yes. Almost over 40% of them had myocarditis. 41% of them had chest pain. And another 40% had very high troponin levels, which is a specific enzyme indicating cardiac muscle damage, not general body muscle damage. So we are destroying the cardiac health of our youth. And now they have a request in to the FDA to expand the EUA to 2 to 10-year-olds. Stu, God help us on that. This has got to stop.
anybody who would even think about subjecting their child to this, given the readily available, publicly available, publicly disseminated data, should be looked at for criminal charges. I mean, that is neglect. That is abuse. Why would you roll the dice with your kids? It just absolutely blows my mind. Coming out today, United Airlines is going to mandate all of their, 62,000 some odd employees, all of their pilots, everybody, they're going to mandate this inoculation. United Airlines jumping out in front of any FDA approval, which according to top legal consultants, lawyers, attorneys that we have talked to, is 100% illegal. You cannot do that. This is an experimental emergency use authorization only, and they are going to mandate that now all of their pilots, all of their personnel, this is a huge story that we're going to follow up very closely. But what exactly are they saying? If you don't get this, you're fired?
Yes, they are. In fact, I saw the report this morning. 67,000 employees worldwide of United. Stu, that's beyond pilots. That's flight operations. Flight attendants.
Yeah, ground crew, ticket people, everybody.
It's crazy. Remember, we've been talking about the fact that even Pfizer has admitted the super high risk of blood clots, and we now know the mechanism of action for that. And you're gonna inoculate the entire United Airlines force. My phone, my mail, everything is blowing up this morning from United Airlines personnel, mostly pilots and flight attendants, begging for help, you know, not knowing what to do about this. Apparently, the order is that they have to get the injection and show some kind of proof of these injections, either by the time the FDA approves it or by some certain date in September, whichever comes first. And I don't blame them for panicking. I don't know if they can, you know, coalesce and just walk out and bring that company to its knees. But if somebody doesn't stop it, Stu, I've heard that the other airlines are going to follow suit, because in the article that came out this morning, United Airlines is kind of targeting the other airlines to, hey, step up and join us because you're under inoculated.
They're looking at this as a contest kind of a deal. Who's going to be the first airline to be fully inoculated? And we've seen this at healthcare workers and healthcare facilities as well, like Baylor Scott & White in Texas. We have video that I'm trying to vet from Baylor Scott & White, where somebody in leadership there basically was telling everybody, we are going to be the first healthcare system to be fully inoculated. We're going to beat this person, beat that person. They're making it a contest. Of course, Dr. Ben Edwards was on the program yesterday. Dr. Peter McCullough has been here, is now being sued by Baylor Scott & White for his stance on this, saying that this could be the most deadly rollout in the history of our world, that the world has ever seen of any injection. You mentioned a walkout by United, and this is my opinion here, and I'm not giving anybody any explicit advice, but I will say this. If you leave, if you walk out, you will not be entitled to retirement, benefits, things like that. You will have no recourse if you quit. But if all of you band together, if there is a unified non-compliance at all of these places, Baylor Scott & White, United, anywhere where there is a mass quantity of people that these people need in order to run, where you just absolutely unified non-compliance, say no. If that is your conviction and you don't want this to happen, whether it's religious or just common sense, the data, this is killing people. If you all just say no and they fire you all, the end result is the same. They will be operating under capacity. They won't be able to operate. And you will have recourse, because I am convinced that if you get fired as a result of this EUA, as a result of this experimental injection that has no FDA approval, which I don't know if it ever will, the FDA is gone. And that's a whole nother conversation. But I'm just saying, like, thinking out loud here, and I went to Telegram last night and kind of said the same thing and had an open dialogue with the people that joined me in Telegram. The getting fired thing is probably the better option. If you are going to stick to your guns.
It is, too. And there's one other aspect of the getting fired. I totally agree with you. And that aspect is, if you get fired, you are entitled to apply for unemployment insurance. And remember, a big portion of that is paid by the employer. So you're throwing a burden back onto that employer.
Unfortunately, the only people that are going to suffer at places like Baylor Scott & White are the patients that need medical care, because
absolutely,
they're going to be completely understaffed. But this is coming from a facility that is mandating medical treatment on one side and then refusing it on another. They will not give ivermectin. They will not give
Unbelievable.
Hydroxychloroquine. None of these
horrific
other things. So they're mandating, at the same time refusing treatment. Dr. Jane Ruby, we appreciate you joining us as always. The Stu Peters Show continues with Ivory Hecker. You remember her? She was the...
Ivory Hecker. All right. And again, folks, let me just say this. You know, sometimes you're in a position, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And again, I look at things with a very critical eye, probably more so than others, because it's content. Can it be trusted? Who are the people that are putting it out? And again, I don't want to keep beating this point up, because Stu Peters might be 100% legitimate. I'm a patriot, and I'm doing this because I love my country, and I hope that is the case. But understand also that if you're going to run a PSYOP, you spend a lot of time doing this, tweaking it, and you give it a certain amount of street cred or viability, and, well, you keep plugging along and doing the thing, and then one day you're down another path, you're on another narrative. All right, just saying. Just want people to understand that. Study find, this is amazing, because I posted a story earlier today, and it has to do with this governor out there on the left coast. It's just not California anymore, folks. Trust me. And this governor says, okay, we're going to do a new protocol with schools. She signed a bill. She being the Oregon governor. The hell is this woman? Oh, Kate Brown. Yeah. For the next 5 years, an Oregon high school diploma will be no guarantee that the student who earned it can read, write, or do math at a high school level. Huh? Kate Brown had demurred earlier this summer regarding whether she supported a plan passed by the legislature to drop the requirement that students demonstrate they have achieved those essential skills. But lo and behold, 14 July last month, the governor signed Senate Bill 744 into law. Through a spokesperson, and I want you to keep thinking about this, folks. Why do we need, while I'm doing this story, why do we need a teachers union? Why do the teachers need a union? To keep themselves in their teacherhood? Yeah. Not because they're there to do what? Teach! Brown's decision was not public until recently, because her office did not hold a signing ceremony or issue a press release, and the fact that the governor signed a bill was not entered into the legislative database until July 29th, 2 weeks after she signed the damn thing, a departure from the normal practice of updating the public database the same day the bill is signed. Why do you think that is? Because she was so proud of that legislation? No, she tried to couch it. The Oregonian Oregon Live asked the governor's office when Brown's staff notified the legislator that she had signed a bill. Charles Boyle, the governor's deputy communications director, said the governor's staff notified legislative staff the same day that the governor signed a bill. Boyle said in an emailed statement that suspending the reading, writing, and math proficiency requirements while the state develops new graduation standards will benefit Oregon's Black, Latino, Latina, Latinx, Indigenous, Asian, Pacific Islander, tribal, and students of color. Wow! Oregon's Black, Latino, Latina, Latinx, Indigenous, Asian, Pacific Islander, tribal, and students of color? Jeez, reads like an LGBTQRS XYZ. We'll take the break. We'll be right back. Finish this story and then do a comparison of who's not taking the vaccinations in this country.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
So, leaders from these communities have advocated time and again for equitable graduation standards, along with expanded learning opportunities and supports. Learning opportunity is the school itself. They're just refusing to teach the children because they just want them to be, well, equitable. Does this not smack of let's give all the participants in sports trophies, participation trophies? No, the reason for giving out a trophy is the guy that does the best. Oh, but we're not going to go there. The requirement that students demonstrate freshman to sophomore level skills in reading, writing, and particularly math led many high schools to create workshop-style courses to help students strengthen their skills because they didn't know how to do it by the time they got to high school, and they got to run remedial classes to teach them the stuff that they should have already learned. Ladies and gentlemen, I remember being in a public school. We said the Pledge of Allegiance, okay. But we did something else. The teachers there made sure that we understood the curriculum, and they would do these little, what are those things called, Mike, to find out if what you're teaching the students are absorbing? Do they call them tests, right? Standardized tests. Whatever. Most of these courses have been discontinued since the skill requirement was paused during the pandemic before lawmakers killed it entirely. So you're paying taxes to schools that aren't teaching to spit out more what? And folks, the school systems today teach you what to think. The school that I went to taught you how to think, how to reason, how to use logic, how to think. Critical thinking skills were as important as the curriculum itself, if not more so. So what do? We just dumb them all down. Now, Zero Hedge put out a story by Paul Joseph Watson. I like him a lot better since he's kind of separated from Alex Jones. At any rate, I will post his news stories. A new report by researchers at Carnegie Mellon University and University of Pittsburgh has found that the most highly educated Americans are also the most vaccine hesitant. I wonder why. Wow. What to think versus how to think? The researchers canvassed no fewer than 5 million Americans who responded to surveys on whether they were probably or definitely not planning on getting the COVID vaccine. And the results will shock many. More surprising is the breakdown in vaccine hesitancy by level of education. It finds that the association between hesitancy and education level follows a U-shaped curve, with the highest hesitancy among those least and most educated. People with a master's degree had the least hesitancy, while the highest hesitancy was among those holding a PhD. In addition, while the lowest educated saw the largest drop in vaccine hesitancy for the first time, for the first 5 months, of this year, the ones with the PhDs, you know, the piled high and deeps out there, were the most likely not to change their mind. The study also reveals that the most common concern for those who are hesitant to take the vaccine is potential side effects, with a lack of trust in government close behind in second. What do you mean you don't trust me? I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you, whether you like it or not. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
I'm here. Just taking off speaker. Education. And like you said, when you were in California, it was one of the most beautiful areas you ever saw. Well, Oregon and Washington are just as beautiful.
Mm.
And the same with Oregon.
I've tried to stay out of Washington and Oregon. California, aside from the real estate, is hard enough.
Well, no, the whole thing has been trashed by the liberals. And what people have to understand is this goes back to the mid-90s, folks. In Michigan, I'm in northern Michigan, and I pulled my children out of school because they brought all the garbage up here. But Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Oregon were the pilot states for this outcome-based education school-to-work garbage, where they do dumb the children down. And this was developed by Hillary Clinton, David Rockefeller, Ira Magaziners, and others to totally just dumb this country to the point where they could be completely manipulated. And you can read a letter from Mark Tucker, who was involved with education, to Hillary Clinton. It was when they got into office, he wrote this letter. It's about 22 pages, but it explains the whole agenda. So now the people that are 40, 50 years old that are having children in school think this is a normal education program because they were all dumbed down, and they're just dealing with people that are completely facilitated to thinking a certain way. They took away all the tools for education. They took away the language. They took away communication skills. They took away logic and problem solving.
Yep, you're exactly right.
So I could go on. And I'd like to even do an hour of this. Even my brother, who did all the research up here, and Charlotte Iserby is one to reinforce it. But, folks, we're dealing with a dumbed-down generation or two from the 90s. And if you read Mark Tucker's letter, you'll get insight as to what their agenda was. And so there's no, and also back in the late 90s, this is on G. Gordon Liddy's show. He was a talk show host for a while. He brought up an article from Harvard, and Harvard said that in order to go to the graduate school from Harvard, to get your master's, you had to be able to read and write. Now, this was in Harvard in the late 90s that was one of their requirements. So,
you mean not a grade point average? You just need to proficiently read and write at what? A second grade level? What?
Well, they were working on their master's, so I don't know what they were missing in the basic 4 years of college that they were going through. But our superintendent up here was introducing this garbage to this area. They were allowed to take the test over. If you got a 90, you didn't get to take the test over. If you got a 60, you got to take it over three or four times until you got an A, and then everyone was on the honor roll, and the parents were held at bay because they thought their children were being educated.
It's like passing the bar exam. You can take it and fail as many times as you want until you...
Well, that's what my superintendent presented at one of these presentations my brother did. He goes, well, if you take the bar exam, you can take it over and over. That was his justification. And then he said, and then all of the colleges here have remedial classes.
Yeah.
Which you have to take if you aren't proficient. And so our valedictorian here had to take remedial math classes at U of M.
Jeez.
So you can imagine how far they've dumbed these children down. But if they don't have the remedial classes filled, they lose all their funding. So,
there's something more added to this. And I know I hated school. I hated school for very good reasons. Because it was boring. It was not exciting. It's curriculum. They're reading out of books. Okay, and there's going to be a pop quiz or there's going to be a midterm test. Okay, let's see how much of this garbage you retain. And, you know, John, the thing about this is an education. The one-size-fits-all to begin with is a bad approach to education. And what I've advocated for a number of years, rather than this dumbed-down approach that the federal government, you know, the government funds all the public school systems to a greater or lesser degree, depending on where you're at. Here is your curriculum, and this is what you will teach, otherwise you will not get federal benefit. And I look at this. When I was in school, they were absolutely... You wanted to pass school? You wanted to go on to the next grade? Okay, how's your reading proficiency? We had reading classes. Classes designed for one thing, reading and comprehension. And as you got into this, there was a little bit, it wasn't the Evelyn Wood speed reading, and, you know, why didn't that last for very long? Because you can't speed read a damn book. I don't give a damn how bright you are. You're not going to retain everything that's on that page just by skimming your finger over it. It was reading and comprehension, and do it in a quick manner. In other words, you don't read like this. Your thoughts, your mind is a hell of a lot faster than that. This was about comprehension and doing it quickly and understanding what you're reading. There is so much that has been ripped out of these schools. But here again, we have the public school system that they're not going to give up on. You have seen the idiocy coming out of these teachers' union, these supposed accredited teachers, teaching what? Critical race theory? Teaching their children, well, you know, if you're not comfortable at the age of 6 being a girl, you know, you can be a boy. This is what's being supported. And these unions have to go along with this federal accreditation crap. John, you know, when you homeschooled your children, I've got
We had to reteach them.
Yes,
we
did.
Had to learn them.
You had to deprogram in order to teach them.
Yes.
I've got a 6th grade McGuffey reader set on the mantle in my home. And I pull those things down every once in a while, and I go through them. There was stuff in those McGuffey readers that you would consider to be sophomore or maybe freshman curriculum at sixth grade level. And at that time, we were still kind of an agrarian culture. And you know what? When you got to be of age, you had to quit school and go work the farm. So you had like two, maybe three, maybe 4 years of school, and that was it. But the type of the curriculum that was taught in one-room schoolhouses, they didn't have sports teams, they didn't have basketball courts, they didn't have Friday night football. They had a mean, clean, one room, here's the curriculum, we're going to teach you how to think. And that is gone. Well, but the proof still remains. It's on my damn mantle.
Well, they changed the vocabulary in Lansing at the school, the Michigan State Board of Education. The term learn, it didn't mean to gain knowledge, and now it means to change the behavior. So when they're talking about your child's learning, the behavior is being implemented. And they did have tests that you took in 4th grade, 7th grade, and 11th grade to see if the programs were being implemented. And if you didn't, if you're so good at it, then you had to do summer school where they made sure that the computers told you how to do it right. So this is so convoluted, folks, and you just have to check it. And then talking about unions, the book by Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld, The NEA, The Trojan Horse of American Education, takes it back to 1835, talks about how they went to Russia in the 20s and 30s to study the system, and also Nazi Frankfurt Germany, and how they implemented it through the school. The superintendent is one of the facilitators. So, folks, I could go on and on, but you just definitely have to realize that this is a the NEA, the Trojan Horse of American Education, and then Mark Tucker's letter to Hillary.
All righty. John, I thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you for the time, and bless you. Those children, they're being, it's psychological, what do they call it? It's abuse, and it's really...
Try the Roger Landry, Programmed Ignorance.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. John, thank you. I got to run. Thanks, John. Clay in Oklahoma. Hello, Clay.
Talladega.
Hello?
Hello. Hey, Talladega.
What?
Talladega.
Talladega what?
Talladega, Alabama. Racing, man. That's NASCAR. But I was thinking, I want to ask you about the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
And being a resident.
Yeah.
And how this applies to us.
Okay, is there a question there somewhere? One that I can answer?
The all made U.S. citizens under federal jurisdiction. I want to have it go back to being state citizens.
Dump your federal passport, dump your driver's license, dump your federal security, Social Security, get out of the system, which many people can't. They're so destitute and so broke they can't. But this is how they've done it. You know, what difference, you know, if you think about this, Clay, you go to apply for a driver's license in any state USA, and they ask you if you're a U.S. citizen. Well, wait a minute. No, I was born and raised in, say, Oklahoma. Okay? Well, what are you doing asking me if I'm an American citizen? If I was born in Oklahoma, Oklahoma is part of the Confederation of the 50 States of America, right? So why are you asking me if I'm a federal, or why are you asking me if I'm a U.S. citizen? You know, these are little tricks to try to convince you that they have jurisdiction over you.
As the 14th Amendment.
Well, yeah, that was the Reconstruction of America. It was the Federalist...
But we all sign up for it, don't we? Are you a U.S. citizen? Are you a resident? We say, yay! Yes, I am.
Yeah, no, I get you, but...
It's called voluntary servitude, right?
Well, yeah, but, okay, but understand, Clay, that if people understood the difference between the two, do you think they'd voluntarily go, oh, okay, I'm gonna sign over my rights, or I'm gonna sign over my common sense and make myself what? A target of the federal government claiming they have jurisdiction over me? No. Of course you wouldn't.
No, you know Patrick Henry, right?
I'm sorry?
You're the you read source documents like Patrick Henry and this, that, and the other one. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. All right, Clay, I got to run, man. Break time coming.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Why is that? I got that on the second day in a row. I got that same question yesterday about Reconstruction 1871. Your Constitution went out the window in 1871. Roger Landry and I were talking earlier today, and I said, you know, people don't even understand the bankruptcy of 1933. They don't understand the structure of this government. They don't understand what they have implemented. They don't get the administrative state and what this has really morphed into. We'll break. Kelly and Austin, I'll make you the last caller of the day on the National Intel Report. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Yeah, just so the listeners, the newer listeners, and I'm referring to those prior to 2008, we were well on our way to changing the climate and the attitude in the administrative state, how the common law and the common law courts themselves were just being pushed aside. And egregious things like federal prosecutors telling juries that, no, we're here to give you the witnesses and you can interview them. Oh, no, you can't call your own witnesses, expert or otherwise. Hoppy Heidelberg, the horse farmer, he found out during the Oklahoma City bombing trial. And then the FBI agent said that, you know what, you keep up with this, Hoppy, they're just going to kill you. That's the FBI for you. Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly.
Hi there. I'm curious to hear your comments about the reluctance to accept the vaccine and the level of education. I've heard that before, but I haven't read the article.
Yeah.
I'm curious of what you read. Was there an explanation for that?
That these are people that of higher education, that they have better critical thinking skills.
Okay. Well, yeah, count me among that cohort of PhDs who will not take the exam.
Yeah.
The vax. And let me tell you why. I think if you look at it, you'll find it's probably a bimodal distribution of higher educated people with regard to their willingness to accept or reject the vaccine. You'll probably find that the willingness to accept the vaccine is highest among those whose doctorates are not in the sciences.
Right.
You get into the sciences and engineering, where I think the critical thinking skills are a bit more acute than they are. And you run into people who understand the scientific method. And when we look at what we hear from government and their explanation for why we need to line up and let them jab this poison into our rear ends, it just doesn't add up.
Yeah, most people, given, this is why I referred to the judge in the last hour. Here's a judge making statements on COVID-19. You know, and what would he do with a prosecutor that was in his courtroom during the phase of discovery, didn't allow the defense attorney privy to the information he had? The judge would come down on that prosecutor like a ton of bricks. Well, this judge doesn't seem to understand. Same thing applies here with knowledge in general, especially around this COVID-19 thing. Here's a judge making recommendations, and based on what? Your judgment about faulty information or one-sided information was the whole point of it.
Well, he's been shovel-fed a bunch of nonsense, and
doesn't excuse him. And a judge this age is not, part of the XYZ, generation. This guy's been around for a while. All right, hey, look,
I don't know better.
Kelly, I got to run. We're out of time. Appreciate it, bud.
All right.
That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, another edition of the National Intel Report. It's getting interesting, isn't it, folks? We're plowing not only through their BS, we're trying to get the Republic back on track. They're making it very, very hard. Every roadblock and obstacle and piece of crap that they can throw at us, that's exactly what they're doing. Thank you for being here. We will see you tomorrow. We must take the medical bed.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.